There's a lot of discussion in this week's parasha. Okay, Mark. Okay, Mark is sitting. I'm sorry, I thought that was Mark. It was Kalman. You see, it's like the Rebbeim, they always hit the wrong case. Okay. All right, let's begin. Okay, Rabbi Sai, please. Okay, this week's parasha, we learned a lot about food. There's a lot of food in this week's parasha. What am I referring to? There is the man. Okay. Then there is v'ho asafsuf hisa'avu ta'avo. They had a desire for basar. And Hashem satisfied their desire for basar, how? By providing them with the slav.
We don't understand. They had cattle with them. I don't understand.
Yes, exactly. That was one of the complaints that Hashem had to them. With sheep. Why don't you go slaughter? You have plenty. You want meat, so go slaughter. Who's stopping you? There's plenty. You have plenty of cattle. What? It's a mystery. No, they didn't bring kabanas.
What did the cattle eat?
Yeah, it's a good question. The cat. You're right. It's also a big risk. I don't know. What do they eat? What do the cattle eat? There's a massive amount of cattle. Doesn't say that Hashem gave them the money. There's a midrash that says that the mun melted, and it turned into liquid, and it turned into a stream. And the animals they drank from that stream, which in essence was mun, melted mun. I don't know. It's a good question. That's not, you know, what exactly did the animals consume? They had animals. Why were they complaining? They had what to eat from? These are all very tough questions. Now, in the process of Klal Yisrael demanding food, the Torah indirectly tells us a lot of things about basar. Now, let me read you the pasuk. Mark likes to know the exact chapter and verse. That's a different pasuk. Let me just quote, get the pasukim over here open, and we'll discuss some things about eating meat. Eating meat. Okay. Okay, I'm having a hard time finding it. All right, still a towel. Okay, here's the pasuk. Pasuk says, still going backwards. Which got to chumash. All right, here's one. But one pasuk here says, "V'nos," and after they complained, Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, one thing at a time, maybe I'll get a chumash soon, but in the meantime, we'll just go one thing at a time. V'nosan, this is in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches. Mark, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches. V'nosan Hashem lochem bosar v'achaltem. Lo yoim echad toichlun. You'll have so much meat, not only for one day, v'lo yoim mayim, not for 2 days, v'lo chamish yomim, v'lo yasor yomim, v'lo yeshrim yomim, ad chodesh yomim. Over here, the Torah over here breaks up. It's very bizarre. Well, the Torah goes and tells you, you'll have plenty of meat. The Torah could just say you'll have enough meat as much as you want. Why does the Torah have to break up the pasuk into such a fashion? Lo yoim echad toichlun, v'lo yomoyim, v'lo chamisha yomim, v'lo asara yomim, v'lo eshim yomim, ad chodesh yomim. Torah breaks up this response of Hashem through Moshe. You can have plenty of meat. Okay, fine. That's how you speak. Where the person would go and respond, you can have so much meat. Not only will you have for one day, you'll have more than for not 2 days, not for 5 days, not for 10 days, not for 20 days, for 30 days. Really? That's how you talk? I wouldn't talk like that. I mean, I'm not the average person. Okay, you want meat, Hashem says he's going to give you meat. Stop complaining, this is what you want, you're going to have your meat. What is this elaboration? Exactly, what's this elaboration over here? Lo yom echad, v'lo yishrayim, v'lo yichamish, v'lo yasarim, v'lo yishrim yom, ad chodesh yomim. So this opens up, obviously, everything in the Torah is written with precision. This opens up a whole world of commentary. Now, you have to be careful what you say, you just can't say, nonsense. Here is an interesting insight from the Das Zekenim Mibalei HaTosfos. Okay, these are the Rishonim. And he says over here, from this we learn over here, a Yesod, that during the year, there are add up the numbers. 1 plus 2 plus 5 plus 10 plus 20 plus 30 equals 67. Add up the numbers. The fact that it says over here, all of these days, add up the numbers. 67. From here we learn that 67 days of the year a person should eat meat. During the calendar year, you should eat. So what is the calculation? What is the calculation of 67 days of the year you eat meat? So he explains, how many Shabbosos are there in a year? There are approximately 50 Shabbosos. Okay, there are approximately 50 Shabbosos in a year when it's not a leap year. And then there are 4 days, and this is what it says in the Dazik and Baldi Taisis. Now this is very interesting because here he's including over here Seika Diyoma, which is a Pella. And that's another whole topic of discussion. This is the Das Zekenim Baalei HaTosfos. Then there are 4 days of Pesach that you should eat meat. What are the 4 days? The first 2 days and the last 2 days. Notice the Das Zekenim is saying two awesome chidushim. He is ignoring Chol HaMoed, and he is ignoring the fact that in the Torah there's no such thing as Seika Diyoma. He's including Seika Diyoma. Next, there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. That's already, it's already 50, 56, right? 4. We have to get to 67. 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Yom, 1 day Erev Yom Kippur. A person should eat meat. There are 4 days on Sukkot that you should eat meat. The first 2 days and the last 2 days. And he's including here also in the leap year, so this passage is referring to leap year then, there are 4 extra Shabbosites in a leap year. So these are the days that the Das Zikainen Mibalei HaTosfos. This is not a Hasidus of art. This is equivalent to Rashi. Okay, this and the Das, the Baalei Taisvis, the same Tekufa, the Baalei Taisvis, and they are saying it's Merumas in this Pasik, the verbosity of not 1 day, not 2 days, not 5, not 10, not 20, but 30, not Chodesh Yomim, 8 of the numbers, 67. These are the days of the year when a person should eat meat, and only these days. 54 Shabbosos, the first 2 days of Pesach, the last 2 days of Pesach, the first 2 days of Sukkot, the last days of Sukkot, and Erev Yom Kippur. Now, what about Shavuos? What happened? Everyone agrees about Shavuos. Hakol Moedim Dina Milochem. What? It's a Pella. It's unbelievable. They leave out the Yom Tov of Shavuos. No. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You didn't catch me on the math. The 2 days of Shavuos, it does say. I'm sorry. The Shnei Yimei, pay attention. The Shnei Yimei HaShavuos, the Shnei Yimei Rosh Hashanah, Yom Echad Shel Erev Yom Kippur, the 4 days of Sukkot, and the 4 days of Pesach, and the extra 4 days of Chodesh Ibo. So, in Echanami, the Sholosh Rugolim, I'm sorry, the Sholosh Rugolim, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, and all of the Shabbosos. Now, what about Purim? It's interesting, Purim, there is no mention of Purim. There's no mention of eating Basar over here on Purim. And what other day would you expect? Oshana Rabbah. Okay, interesting. That's right. And then also, when he leaves out his Chol HaMoed, you would, because there are definitely indications in Chazal that Chol HaMoed is a Yom Tov, and you should be eating Basar on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so this is just something to think about. That's Baal Zakenim. He elaborates over here on this idea of 67 days a year to eat Basar. Here's the question. This is the very big dilemma. Is it good to eat basar in the eyes of Chazal? Is it healthy, proper to eat meat or not? What is the Torah's approach to being a vegetarian? What we know that Chazal say ein simcha ela bebasar v'yayin. The Kohanim are obligated to eat the basar. Korbanos are basar. We eat the basar. Now you have to appreciate that by the goyim, there's no such thing by a goy of eating the meat of a sacrifice. Now, not that a goyim we could care less, but the goyim, maybe we do take into consideration, when a goy brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, she only brings a carbon oilo. In religions, it seems, if I'm not mistaken, that at the time when the Torah was given, the Rambam here works with this approach, that many of the mitzvahs that were given to Klal Yisrael were in contrast to the hanhogos of the Umay Soila. At the time when the Torah was given, the goyim brought sacrifices to their gods. When a goy brought a sacrifice to their god, there was no such thing as a goy eating from the sacrifice. When you bring a sacrifice to an idol, it's logical, this is for you. This is for the deity. You don't eat it. You don't eat it. I mean, there's a famous medrash about the medrash with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was, his father had a store that sold idols. And people would come into the store and they would want to buy an idol. And in the meantime, once they walk into the store, they would bring sacrifices. They would bring sacrifices to the idols. So the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu, it was like here in the Young Israel Midwood, in the Senior Citizen Center. He wakes up in the morning, and Avraham Avinu, he says, today it's Wednesday. What would I like to have for lunch today? Avraham Avinu would wake up and think about it. Oh, today I want to have some... Oh, that's Taka Chazal. Taka say not to give on Thursday. They say not to give meat. I think it's on Thursday. They don't give it on Wednesday. So what do I want to eat today? I want to have some pizza. I want some pizza today. I want some, some chocolate milk, whatever. So he goes into the work, and a woman comes in and says, "Oh, you know, I'm thinking about taking out a second mortgage on my home to buy an idol. I see in the window you have this beautiful new idol. You know, maybe you can order one for me. I want a replica of that idol." Of course. But in the meantime, don't you think you should offer a sacrifice to the idol? You know, if you're going to buy the idol until we manufacture it, it'll be proper, you know. You should, what should I give? I think today the idol wants some pizza and some falafel, some chocolate milk and some sushi. Of course. The woman runs out to the store, she buys pizza, she buys sushi, she buys falafel, whatever Avraham Avinu told her to get, she brings it in. Wow, very good, excellent. Okay, we're going to get working on manufacturing your idol. Thank you. She leaves the store, and Avram takes the food to the back room, and he sits down and has a delicious lunch. The next day, what do I want for lunch today? We make litzanis. He's a total manarish guy. So the people that brought the food, they didn't eat the food. They thought that the food is going to be offered as an offering. It's going to be burnt. And the idol, it's as if the idol consumed the food. And Avraham made litzanis, and he took the food for lunch, for his own pleasure. And he told them to give for the idol what he wanted to eat for lunch. But the people that gave the food never had a hava amina, that someone's going to eat the food. You give the food. The food is that the food should be eaten by the idol. The Torah comes along and says something shocking. That when you bring a carbon to Hashem, the only part that's going to be burnt on the Mizbeach is just some fats. You'll apply the blood to the wall of the Mizbeach. You'll burn some forbidden fats. Some Imurim. Maybe there'll be some Imurim. A carbon oil is the exception. Carbon oil, everything is burnt. But a carbon chatos, a carbon asham, kodshei kalim, what happens? You eat it. You enjoy it. Just put the chalef on the mizbeach. Anyway, you can eat the chalef. But you eat the basar. Kodshei kalim, invite your whole family. Eat the basar in Yerushalayim. Kodshei kodashim, give it to the kohanim. The achlu oisam asher kupar bohem. This concept that a koyein or the makriv should eat the basar, it's a novel concept. The world at that time, who was over the avodah zarah, at the time of Matan Torah, when they offered sacrifices, if you're offering a sacrifice, the purpose of the sacrifice is that the entire animal should be consumed on the fire of the Mizbeach. Along comes the Torah and says, it's nonsense. That's not what a sacrifice is. You eat the basar. Enjoy the basar. So over here you have a revelation
that basar was meant to be eaten. When you bring a carbon as a sacrifice, you eat basar. Now go back to the time of Noach. Before the Zman of Noach, it was osur. One of the Shev before Noach, until Noach, it was categorically forbidden for a human being to eat basar. Everyone in the world was a vegetarian. And then along comes Noach. After Noach, Hashem was matir basar for human consumption. Now animals, many animals do not eat basar. So the question is, this that we eat basar today, is this an exception to what Hashem really wanted for man? Or is this, no, this is what the original intent was. Now we have over here a dentist, Dr. Bienenstock. I don't know what happened to Dr. Dove, where he disappeared. Eretz Yisrael. Is he coming back?
Dove is kind of flying in Thursday.
Oh, okay. So he claims over here is that human beings, the teeth of human beings, were not created to eat basar. Incredible chiddush.
Who said that?
Incredible chiddush. I'll tell you who says it. The teeth, compare man's teeth to animals. Certain animals, Hashem gave them. Hashem always gives you what you need. Hashem provides a person in life with what he needs. And if you don't have what you need, you have to improvise. But generally, Hashem, animals that consume other animals, that eat basar, that hunt, Hashem gave them certain types of teeth, which make it ideal to claw, to attack their prey, and to chew basar. So there are people who have made an analysis. There are people who have made an analysis, is that the teeth of a human being are not designed to chew meat. Let me read you what it says. Let me read you this incredible chiddush of what it says. I gotta find it over here. Okay, give me 1 second. There's a lot of discussion about this. About, is man really meant to eat basar? By Ma'aseh Bereishis, Hashem did not permit basar. Okay, I'm reading over here what it says. This is the Malbim. And Yesh Cholkim on the Malbim. I'll read you the words. The Malbim says, Ha'odam, this is the title, Mishoyresh Yitzirosoy Loi Nivra L'kabel Chiyusoy Mi Basar. Ha'malbim Zal B'sifrei HaTorah HaMitzvah Hevi Davar Nifla B'Shem HaChoykurim, in the name of the scientists, the philosophers. She'odam mishoresh yitzirosoy lo nivra lekabel chiyusoy miachilas basar, el nivra lekabel chiyusoy mipeiros ushar tzmachim, only from vegetables. V'chein royim shehachayos hanoichos b'tivam loichem. Also, there are certain animals that domesticated animals that are pleasant. They only live off tzmachim, vegetation. Hodu in India, and they are more pleasant people, whatever that means. Teeth, umal tois, molars, she'enam toy amois li'achilas basar, that are not ideal, are not designed to properly chew meat. Chewing meat requires an enormous amount of effort to do it the right way, and afterwards all the meat gets caught between your teeth. Hashem created the perfect man. When you chew meat, you have strands of meat that get caught between your teeth. The teeth don't properly chew the meat in a way that is ideal relative to animals, certain types of animals, which have different types of teeth that are much better designed to chew and grind meat without it getting caught in between their teeth and doing a more optimized and better process. Oh, so that's it's a how do we the Torah tells us to eat meat. The Torah tells Kohanim to eat meat. The Torah tells you when you bring a carbon, you have to eat the meat. Can't be noisar. On the other hand, when Hashem created Adam Arishon, Hashem did not allow Adam Arishon. Did Adam Arishon ever eat meat? He brought karbonos, but did Adam Arishon eat the basar of the karbonos? Did he bring only oilois? The Adam HaRishon, he brought karbanos. Did Adam HaRishon eat from the karbanos? When was the first time man ate meat? Hashem was matter Noach. Noach brought karbanos. Did Noach even eat the karbanos that Noach brought? Were they oilois? Were they completely consumed in the fire? When is the first time we have a man eating basar? Chazal's ain't simcha ela basar. Now let me read over here what it's over here in the footnote. The footnote over here says, it goes through this whole thing over here. Zelosh and Malbim goes through the Malbim over here. He even quotes the Mashiach, Aryeh Kabokar Yoichal Tevin, the famous pasuk in Yeshaya. Then Yemosah Mashiach, the world will be restored to its original ideal form, where even a lion will no longer eat meat. Aryeh, a lion, Kabokar, like cattle, Yoichal will eat Tevin. V'chein leihuta l'odim lechel basar, shekol zenas achar hacheit, nishtila tava. After the chait of eating from the eighth, at later point of the eighth sadas, it was put into a person taiva. V'ho hasafsuf hisavu taiva. They had a taiva to have a taiva. It's an uncontrolled taiva to eat basar. There's something very deep in this, in the mind, subconsciously, why a person wants to eat meat. Is it a sickness of the mind? Why you want to eat meat? An uncontrolled sickness to dominate, to cannibalism. Good. It tastes good. Yeah. There are a lot of things that taste good. A lot of things that taste good. Why do you have to eat meat? Now he goes over here and says, for the highest nachas v'tivam, sham nimsa, it says over here. That's what he says. He brings down, the Malbim quotes this. He quotes this. However, he cites over here another opinion. Omnam. On the opposite side of the fence, he quotes a sefer called the Das Shalom, Al Perek Shira, Kosav Behepuch. We have molars. Molars, he holds, are the ideal teeth to chew meat. If we only ate vegetables and fruit, we would not need to have molars. You know how much money we would save at the dentist? We would not need to have all these, you don't need. The fact that we have four molars is an indication that Hashem originally designed a human being to eat meat. The Malbim says the opposite. It says the molars are not enough. There's fruit that also needs molars to chew, needs to grind food that is hard. He quotes the symbol of the Das Shalom, Al Perek Shiva, Kosav Hebach, Sheyodua, Shachayus HaTorfos, Yeshlam Shinaim, Aruchos, V'chodos, Me'oid, Litreif Teref. There are certain creatures that are predators, and they have very sharp and very unique sets of teeth that make it ideal for them to chew meat. Avol, Shinei HaBehema, Kitzorois, V'chalokos, B'roishon, V'loichodos, they're not sharp. The animals that only eat vegetation, notice their teeth are not so sharp. Because they don't need sharp teeth, because they only eat vegetation. They ate them tarif from tarif. There are, has 32 teeth. The average person has 32 teeth. Dr. Binstock, is that true?
Right.
32? Don't people have missing teeth? Dentists make a lot of money. They make a lot of money by limiting away from 32. Chofches mehem shinayim chalokim. 32 of 28 are smooth. V'dalid mehem shinayim chodim. Shinayim chalokim mehem l'tzorech achilas tevua v'yarakos k'mo adam harishoin. Ad noyach. 28 of the teeth are like what adam harishoin. Only vegetation. Shinayim ha-chidois. The four sharp teeth, nikrois, they're called, what are molars called, according to the Sefer? Shinei Ze'ev.
It's not right that there are four molars. There are more than four molars.
Those are the
20, canine, okay, what are
the
canine teeth?
The sharp ones.
The sharp ones. A person, he calls the canine teeth in halacha, Shinei Ze'ev. The wolf teeth. Did you ever hear that before? Kills the animal.
There happen to be 12 molars, not four.
Okay, I don't know. I have two svarim at home on dentistry and halacha. Two very good svarim, very chosh svarim.
The sharp teeth on the animals of prey are not so much for the eating, it's for the killing.
Right, the killing. It's a predator. The kill. Shine zev shebohen tarfim an adam. Man also is a predator, he says. V'oichlim basar. So to point out over here, man does have sharp teeth. He calls at least four of them are sharp teeth. So we have a machloikis. A machloikis, the malbum. So you soido is a machloikis. Machloikis, the malbum. And the sefer called the Das Shalom. Was it Hashem's original intent that man should eat meat? Because meat demands a more significant chewing with teeth that can properly grind and diminish the meat properly in order to be digested. On the one hand, we learn that at Maisa Bereishis, Hashem did not want man to eat meat. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to go and dominate over animals? Mitzad Sheni, the Torah has demanded that we eat from Bisar Kotchim. And we made this beautiful drasha from the Das Hakim Mibalei HaTosfos that on 67 days of the year, it is a good thing to eat meat. The Kohanim made meat. Okay, on the other hand, the Rambam, you should know the Rambam appears to be a vegetarian. The Rambam says a person should stay away from meat. It is not healthy. To eat meat in moderation, it's not a healthy food. The Torah demands that we eat meat. There are certain times that we eat meat, but we're really filling ourselves up with poison. And it's not a good thing. And whatever the reason is, we do this every so often, occasionally, because that's the halacha, because of korbanos, v'chulu, v'chulu. But the Rambam seems to say that meat is something that a person should ideally avoid. It's a very shocking Rambam. The Rambam had a whole different way of eating. The Rambam had a whole technique of how to eat, what to eat, how to eat. The Rambam was a doctor. All right, going forward, now this is a very fascinating thing. How do you eat food? How do you ever go to someone's house? If you would go to someone's house and you would eat with your fingers, would they invite you back to another meal? You ever go to someone's house? I don't need a fork and a spoon and a knife. I like to eat the food with my fingers. You put your hands into the cholent and you pull out some beans and some potatoes and some meat and you eat the food with your fingers. So the truth is, who is the one who invented a fork and knife? It were the Greeks, the Yavanim. This is a fact, it's recorded, that it was the Yavan Rabbeinu Hananel. One of the early Rishonim records that the proper way for a Jew to eat food is with his fingers. It was the Yavanim who invented this principle of not touching the food and eating the food using utensils to eat the food. Now this is very incredible. Why did Hashem give us 10 fingers? In order to actually be able to manipulate and work with the food. Ad kedei kach, and this is a fascinating thing. We learned two days ago, that one of the reasons why we light Ner Shabbos is so we can see the food. Because if a person does not see what he eats, there is no way he can gain satisfaction. The satisfaction of eating food is the presentation, is the ambiance, the presentation of seeing the food. Chazal actually say that a blind man is never satisfied. A suma does not have satisfaction because he cannot see what it eats. He writes over here that it is impossible to fully enjoy the food unless you first feel it and you touch it. Eating, the experience of eating, is not just chewing and swallowing. We know as a fact, the experience of eating has to also apply to the eyes. You have to see the food. What about the aroma? I mean, we don't, in halacha, that's certainly true. Everyone knows that if you eat food and there's an aroma, there is no doubt about it that it enhances the experience. I have here a cup, Meir Apple, if you gave me this cup, this funny cup that's sliced on an angle. So I said, what's this mishigas? Why is this? I thought it's a design. It's some type of, you know, exotic design. You have to make a parnassus, so instead of having a round cup, they have a design. No. Looked it up online. A cup A real coffee cup is cut on an angle. Why is it cut on an angle? So that when you put down your lip to the front of the cup, the back of the cup is raised higher in order to force the aroma of the cup into your nose. Because if you don't inhale the fragrance of the food, you're missing out on the experience of what you're eating. So that's why a real coffee cup is very wide and it's cut on an angle. So when you put your lips to the front of the cup and you then bend it, as you drink, the back of the cup is forcing you to benefit from the aroma. You have a regular cup like this and you drink, so liquid is going into your mouth, and any aroma, if you don't have a good sense of smell, is just going off into the air. You're not deriving the benefit. It is a given. It is a given that part of the pleasure of eating is not just the taste, it's the aroma that accompanies. It's Hashem's world. You're supposed to, yeah, it's right, yeah. Yeah. What? We don't, today everything is watered down. I have one over here. I have it over here outside in the locker. In the locker, I'll show you. You want to see the cup? Everyone appreciates this. That part of the pleasure of eating is aroma. We know, as in the world of halacha, that part of the pleasure of food is to see the food. There's another element which we don't do today. We don't do anything. We don't do today. We live a very simplistic life. We're Purushim. But a person that makes a bracha and is nene from Hashem's world, Hashem made a world for you to enjoy. There's a time to enjoy a time and time not to. Part of the pleasure, this again, we don't do this today. Don't go away saying that I should go eat with your hands. I mean, you got to be out of your mind. And in fact, the Gemara tells there are stories where a guy he came and he put his hands into the food and he said, "Don't give me the dirt under your nails, okay? Don't give me the bacteria under your nails." The Gemara, Tanna Chazal, they knew about bacteria. They knew that if you put your fingers into the food, it's poison. There's bacteria. There are germs. The Gemara clearly understood this. So we don't do this today. We do like the Greeks, and we use a fork and a knife. It's not proper. It's not proper to go and touch the food. But in the time of Chazal, time of the Torah, that is the way the Rishonim say, the way you eat food is with your bare hands. And the reason why, now this is the reason why, because that is part of the pleasure. There is a sense of mishush, of feeling. And when you feel the food, the sensation of feeling the food in your hands and putting it into your mouth enhances the joy and the pleasure of eating the food. There is the feeling of the food, the texture of the food. There is the aroma, and there is seeing the food. And then there is tasting the food. That's the proper way to eat food. If you do this today, forget it, the shidduch is off. You don't do this today. Obviously, it's not considered to be civil. However, if you go to a chassidish tish, the chassidim, they do this with fish. He writes about this, the Satmar Rav. I'm assuming if the Satmar Rav did this, Mistama, there are still chassidim, the rebbes that still continue to do this. There's one exception that still continues on ad hayom hazeh, is dogim. Fish, they eat fish. I wouldn't like to see this with their hands. Now, I guess that means they don't, not gefilte fish. I don't think they use gefilte fish. That would be disgusting. Everything. But there is such a thing today that chassidim, when they distribute the shirai, you have to make a brichas hagoimel if you survive. You don't get poisoned to death from this. It says in the pasuk biodaim. You're right. Okay, unfortunately, I didn't underline things the way I should. They ate with their bare hands. It says in the pasuk, the fish that they ate with, the pasuk says you're supposed to eat with your hands. I don't know what the pasuk is. All right, so this is another chiddush. Okay, now I want to tell you another halacha, another thing about food, very interesting about food. We have a halacha that you don't eat meat with fish together. Everyone knows this. It's a taisvis. We don't eat today meat and fish together. And there are different degrees of stringencies that each different minhagim of how machmir you are. Some will not even put on the same plate fish and meat. Some are not so machmir. Some people will not eat meat after fish unless they first wash out their mouth with schnapps. Some will just take a drink. Some will wait. Everyone has a different minhag. But everyone without exception is machmas, as far as I know. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is machmas. You don't eat it together. No one eats today together meat and fish. The vasachas. Is there such a thing? I never heard anyone, right? Everyone accepts this, correct? That you don't eat together. You don't eat together meat and fish. It's a no go. To what degree are you going to be machmas to separate the two? How much are you going to wait in between? Are you going to wash out your mouth? Not going to wash out your mouth. You're going to wash your hands. Can you eat fish after meat? Everyone has their chumras and what they do. What about their pots and pans? Can you use the same pot for both clean? Of course, you clean it out. First to cook meat and then to cook fish. Everyone has a different custom. Why? So Tosfos says, the Gemara said, Tosfos, Chamira sakanta yoiser meisur. This is not a halachic issue. This is not a matter of halacha. It is a matter of sakana. Back in the day, it was understood, the science of the day was that there is some conflict between meat and fish, and if they are served together, eaten together, the chemical combination of these two dishes can cause a person big problems. Now, has that changed in modern times? It seems it has, because you don't hear by the goyim anyone having any issue of eating meat and fish together. Not that we know of, maybe a face or whatever it is. Nishtana hateva. Has nature changed? Was the meat and fish that they ate back in the time of Chazal a different variety, which had different...
Speculated on a tape a long time ago. He said he was doing research trying to find out. He couldn't find anything particular. He said, but the only thing that they speculated was that the best time to eat fish years in the, you know, 1,000 years ago was just before it spoiled. Was the best time to eat fish at that moment, and therefore they drank a glass of schnapps afterwards, so to speak, to kill any germs that might have been in the process if you ate it a little too late.
Yeah.
But he said he doesn't really know. Didn't seem to be any real reason.
Okay, whatever, but Chazal, the Gemara says,
put their finger on anything.
The Gemara says it is a sakana. It is a sakana. And we have a rule. Chamira sakanto yoiser meisura. In the world of halacha, this bittul, there are certain laws about meat and fish that are very chomor. Chamiras.
In production rooms, you can't raw. You have to really wipe down, scrub. This
commercially, they're very makbid. What you do at home is another story.
Between chicken and meat, you have to do different.
So chicken is not in basar mamish. There are many minhagim. It's a whole world of commentary on this. What is this all about? It's not in the world of halacha. The Gemara says it is sakana. What is the sakana? So the Gemara, I think Chazal, they differentiate that goyim, because they eat shirotzim, because goyim eat non-kosher, that's an antidote to the sakana. We who do not eat shirotzim, and we who do not eat kosher, we're lacking the antidote of what the sakana would bring about. So for the goyim, it's not a sakana, because the goyim are eating chazer. They're eating non-kosher, other non-kosher. And it happens to be that the other non-kosher foods that they eat is an antidote for this sakana that comes about by eating meat and fish together. But Klal Yisrael, who do not eat shirotzim, and do not eat chazer, do not eat these things, so we do not have that antidote. Memela, for us, it will be a sakana. It's really hard to know what this is. There's no scientific understanding of what a sakana is. Nevertheless, it says it's in the Gemara, and that is the end of the day. Chamira, sakanta, yoise, meisura, and there's nothing to talk about. If you don't follow these rules, it's scandalous. And then you go a step level deeper. What about eating milk with fish, bagels and lox? Can you go to a bris and have a glass of milk together with eating some lox? So are you allowed to do that?
Cream cheese, not by the sun.
Cream cheese is not milk. Highly, you have to be, you know, it's a dialecha, it's already enough what it says. So it says it's in Tosfos. Some say it's a printer's mistake. Some take it seriously. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael don't hold from this. They don't go so, it's loy plug. In order not to make a mistake between meat and fish, so we're machmir also on milk and fish. Is a printer's the machmir on this? Only on milk or on cream cheese also? Okay, this is already a level beyond. Most of the people that I know, they've even heard of this, even though sometimes they heard whatever. No, most people by us totally, they don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You can have milk with fish. The Zehu, there's no problem whatsoever. When you go to these milchadik restaurants, the OU, the Mashkiach, the Hashkocha, Smakbe, they can't have milk and fish. Never heard of such a thing. I don't know. This is an extreme chum. We're not going there. Okay, we're not going there. Let's talk about what is the sakana is meat and fish. Sakana, where does it come from? So over here he says something incredible. He doesn't say that. I'm saying a little bit more than what it says here in the Sefer. And he says something very, very fascinating. What was the slav? They complained to Hashem, we want basar. We want meat. So Hashem, you want meat? All right, I'll give you meat. I'll give you the slav. You have so much slav, you're going to vomit from it. You're going to vomit from the slav. The slav came down from Shemayim. So it says in the Chazal, there's not only, there are a few sources that say the same thing, the slav, and it's actually, there's a parallel to this today, or I don't know if today, it grew on trees. It's a very unique type of thing. There are certain types of things that we don't, that maybe we do know, we don't know about. The slav grew, they were living creatures, it seems. It grew on a tree. Mamish on a tree. Oh, let me say what happened. This is what it says. I'll read it to you inside. It grew, let me explain, 1 second. It grew on a tree. And as this fruit, it's not really a fruit, on some exotic tree, it matured. It falls off the tree. As it ripens and develops, it falls and it has the texture of basar. And it's seemingly it's alive. It has a life to it. It falls off the tree and falls into the water and swims around in the water. So it starts off as a living creature that has the texture of basar growing on a tree. And as it matures, it falls down and only survives in the water. So it is basar, and it's also a dog. What do they say in this week's parashah? They complain, Zocharnu es hadogo, asher noichal b'mitzrayim chinam. The fish, we remember when we said, al sir habasar. They complained they wanted basar, and they wanted fish. Zacharnu es habasar, a dogo, and Zacharnu when we sat on the sear, the pot of basar. Oh, you want fish, and you want meat, fish and meat. I'll give you the slav. The slav was a combination of basar and dog. Let me read you what it says. And that's why we don't need it. We don't. Okay, 1 second. Here it is. Okay, here it is. Let me read you. Besvarim in books. Rabbi, sorry. Shin Sadi Gimel. Where are these from? Medrash Talpiyos. Okay, Rabbi Neiman. Medrash Talpiyos. Kosav, Yesh Ilon Echod L'choif, England, it's long, no, not England, somewhere, a certain country, whatever it is, Sheyoitzim Oifois Kitanim Mimenu, there's a tree. Of course, it's not only the one who says this. There are certain types of trees that little birds grow on the tree, they grow from the tree itself. They grow from, Sheyoitzim Oifois Kitanim Mimenu, the Koidim Sheyispashel, before they fully ripen, Nitlim be'ilon derech pihem, they are detached from the tree through their mouths. Uchashe yisbashlu, and when they fully ripen, Noiflim el mayim chayim. I guess these trees, they grow only along a river bed. And when they fall out of the tree, they fall into water. El mayim chayim. Umisnoi'im. And they move around. Vitziporim elu hiskiram harav. Even the Beis Yosef mentions this. Okay, not so long ago, the Beis Yosef. He mentions this mitzius. Maybe it exists. You know,
I saw
such things. Go into the stream.
Yeah.
They grow on trees,
yeah.
And when they ripen, they fall into water. And when they fall into water, their shell breaks. Whatever.
They hatch in the tree.
They hatch in the tree and they jump into the water. And they swim in the water. And these fishes, they're not like the regular fish. They have a texture of basar. So they're basar and dogim, bevasachas. And the Beis Yosef quotes this. He says, Bilchus Shreifus, v'shamati, shemoyilim me'oy l'or, and he says something very interesting. This thing is a stimulant for marital relations. That's what that, he says. This is a stimulant. Hisavu tava. Everything over here fits together now. It says in the Hasasuf, hisavu tava. They had a desire to have a desire. Okay, they were listening to the radio, to the advertisements on the radio. That's what it says. Hisavu tava. And the Beis Yosef says, I'm not going to say the word. This is the ancient predecessor to all of these things that they advertise on the radio. That's what it says over here. Shemoyilim o'oy lo'oyer ha'tavas mishkol. Oifois elu is also muskodem gam sefer abris. V'yeyish min oif ha'godol b'ilon. U'v'yagiyo eis asher kivar nispashol kol tzorchoy neifol min o'ilon. V'chai. U'v'medinois Ireland. I don't know what it's referring to. Ha'smucha l'England.
Ireland,
fine. Ha'smucha l'England. B'mokim ha'nikra Sal Anad. Anyone know where that place is? Nimtzoim kimin avozim hagedelim al ilanis hatulushim al palge mayim uviagia hatur noiflim al ilanis al mayim v'chaim ugedelim b'mayim, and they grow in the water. Now over here, now I want to turn this upside down. Along comes Rabbi Zicherman, the mechaber of this sefer, and then he goes on to say, why dafka? Let me read you the whole thing. It's very fascinating. V'dover pella b'peirush Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel. He writes, these birds that grow on trees and hatch and fall into water is hoyu hasilov she'ochlu bnei Yisrael b'yosef b'midbar b'yitzias Mitzrayim or b'bnei shehis aramu bnei Yisrael shtei tar umais. There are two complaints. Complaint number one is what? Zocharnu es hadogo. Number two, mi yachileinu bosar. A certain type of bird. It was like a bird. Bird is basar. And what happened to this bird? It fell into the water and swam around in the water. So it resembled, because they had two complaints, the slav is the synthesis of basar vidogim. Fine. Now, he goes on, Rav Zichman goes on, V'nir mizeh, go yahaslav neis b'sech neis. But he goes on saying, neis b'sech neis, ki arei oifayis elu mekoyrim in ilonas, they come from a tree. V'yakach nase nase kedogim shabayam. V'nir b'midbar yonorida, he's right, where were there trees in the desert? What are you talking about? The desert? Saudi Arabia? Trees? Water? There's no water. There's no trees. What's going on over here? It was a neis b'sech neis. But how far, fine, whatever it is, somehow these things appeared in the desert. How could it happen? If he writes over there, it was a nace, so fine, it somehow came about over in that area and the wind blew it, fine. Now he goes to town, and I'm going to turn it up the other way around. He says now, v'hik reisi lefi. Okay, he goes further over here and he says, wait a minute, how were the Jews allowed to eat this in the desert? It should be sakana. If it's basar, the dogim synthesized. Everyone knows that you're not allowed to eat meat and fish together. So this is even worse, because this is fish and meat, mamish bevasachas, in one item. It's sakana, sakana. How are they allowed to eat this? So he goes on to say a whole lamdis, and he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky this kasha, and he basically said that it's a min bifnei atzma. It's a min bifnei atzma. It's a bria to itself. It's not fish. It's not dogim. Yeah, it's a nice vart Rav Chaim Paltiel that because there are two complaints. So, but the MS is when you add the sum. Is the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's a min bifnei atzmo. So they were not guilty of violating Shulchan Aruch and eating basar v'dogim biyachad. I don't know why you just don't say it's the opposite. This concept of basar v'dogim is a new concept. It first came about much later on. Or you just say basically is what happened to the sloth? What was the outcome of the sloth? It wasn't pretty. They died. Habasa oid bein shineihem. They died. They taka died from this. Why did they die? Because it was poisonous? No. It was because it was a rebellion against Hashem. It was a rebellion. How dare you? Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. Hashem gave you the Torah. Hashem is providing for you. That's not good enough. Entitlements. You want more. It was, this mice of the slav was an ugly stain upon the Jewish people. Mimela, it's a drush. The reason why we don't eat today, basar, v'dogim biyachad, sakana. What's the sakana? Is the FDA? FDA put a label, sakana? No, they've tested, they've done a lot of research. We can't really find any sakana. The goyim do it all the time. We don't see them dying from this. They're getting sick. Maybe we don't know. You have to have a munah. We don't know. But put that aside. Eating basar v'dogim biyachad is a zecher. Zocharnu es hadoga. Mi noichal mi achileinu basar. And Hashem gave them both together. Hashem gave them the slav. And what was the slav? Over here the Beis Yosef quotes in Ireland. They have these things. It's not so far-fetched. They have these things. You go online. You can see these strange things all over the world. Things that grow on trees. Eggs that grow on trees. They hatch and they're living creatures and they fall into the yam and they swim around. The slav was taka basar v'dogim biyachad. And what happened? They ate it and they died. They didn't die because it was poison. They died. Adrabba, the Beis Yosef says that this is taka very good. When it comes to a person that mekayim the mitzvah of, oh, you know, whatever it is, this was a stimulant, whatever you want to call it. It was a drug. It's not a sakana. But when you think about the concept of the rebellion that Klal Yisrael, Hashem was providing for them, and they rebelled against Hashem, we preserve the memory of the chait of the slav, l'doyrois, by never eating basar v'dogim biyachad. It is a zecher for the slav.
Yay.
Okay, so sach hakol, what did we learn today? We learned today about the man, we have food, we have basar, 6 to 7 days a year. You're supposed to eat the basar with your fingers in order to feel it. To feel the finger, exactly, finger food, that's why we eat finger food. We learned about the slav, we have other things we mentioned, I forgot what we mentioned. Meat is not necessarily, was man really created in this world to eat meat? Are the teeth of a human being properly engineered to eat meat? Or are we doing something that was not really meant for man to do? A machlokes between the chidah justified that we're not really meant to do this, and the other sefer that says, no, man was designed by Hashem with teeth that are perfect for chewing meat. Okay.
We all chew meat, we all do fine. What is the meat?
Okay, I don't
know. Right?
Amen. Yehi Shmei Ra.